words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen. Amen.
The sermon today, for today, the fifth Sunday after Lent, and also Independence Day, and that's the lessons that I'm referring to in the sermon. Unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required. And it was written by the Most Reverend John T. Calhoun, Jr. We must never flatter ourselves into thinking that we are the only Anglicans or Episcopalians who have ever suffered through a revision of the Book of Common Prayer. When the Revolutionary War ended in 1784, Anglicans in the American colonies found themselves in a strange bind. They wanted to remain faithful to the teaching and worship of the Church of England. They also lived in a new nation that had just fought a war to get itself free from English control. The Americans needed a prayer book of their own, if only for the obvious purpose of getting rid of prayers for King George III. A convention met in 1785 and approved a trial American prayer book. Incorporated within it was a form of morning prayer, which was to be read every July 4th, to thank God for political and religious freedom from England. Including that service was a problem. The majority of the clergy and a large number of the laity in the colonial Church of England had sympathized with the mother country. Among American Anglicans who had supported the Revolution, many thought it was unwise to introduce what could be construed as an unnecessary political test in the prayer book. In any event, when the new prayer book was proposed for a final reading in 1789, the July 4th service was eliminated. No strong push to include any such thing surfaced again for almost 140 years. The Independence Day collect, epistle, and gospel we are using this morning came into the prayer book only in the revision of 1928, our favorite prayer book.
Yes.
The epistle comes from the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy. Moses reminds Israel to be kind to strangers because strangers were kind to them when they went down into Egypt. Egyptian hospitality toward the Hebrews turned a bit sour later on, but who's counting? Picking this reading was probably meant to suggest that immigrants should be treated decently. The gospel comes from the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus says that we should love our enemies. Bless them, do good to them, and pray for them. In acting that way, we act as God does. His sun shines and his rain falls on both good people and bad people, after all. The reason to forgive and pray for people who do bad things to you is not for their sake, but for your own. A person whom you hate still has a hold over you which can obsess you and wreck your life. If you can forgive, you detach yourself from them and get free. And into the bargain, St. Paul says that if we are nice to our enemies, we heap coals of fire on their heads. Our kindness makes them burn with shame. It is difficult to take moral prescriptions which pertain to individual circumstances and apply them to nations. Not impossible, but certainly difficult. One reason for the difficulty comes from the political perspective which informs the Bible. In the Old Testament, everybody who was part of the main story practiced the same religion, and everybody was a citizen of the same nation. The reason for the existence of the nation of Israel and for its history and for its laws was God. God alone. The New Testament assumes that Christians will not live in a system like Israel's, where the laws of religion and the laws of government are identical. We are told we are really citizens of heaven, so we are only passing through here on earth. Because we are only passing through, and because any form of political order reflects God more accurately than anarchy does, we should obey the laws of the government where we happen to find ourselves living. St. Paul says, the powers that be are ordained of God. St. Peter says, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. And remember that those two men lived with the Roman imperial government, was actively hostile to Christianity, and they both died martyrs' deaths because of it. Jesus tells Pontius Pilate, who is very impressed with his own power, you would have no power at all over me if it had not been given to you from above. All political power comes from God. Obey the laws where you happen to live, including the ones that have to do with paying your taxes. Those are the hallmarks of Christian citizenship. The reason for our gratitude on this July 4th is not that we are free of Great Britain, our best friend internationally, our father culturally and linguistically, and our mother religiously. The reason for our gratitude is that we are free to come to church without having a policeman take down our names. The reason for our gratitude is that no government official checked the sermon out before I got into the pulpit. The reason for our gratitude is that people have been willing to give up their lives to make certain that all this remains true. If we are looking for encouragement and for a challenge on this Independence Day, we should think about Jesus' words. Unto whomever much is given, of him shall be much required. And now, unto God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, be ascribed as most justly due all might, majesty, power, and dominion and glory, now and forever. Amen.